And let's go. What about Drew? Did anybody notice that Drew went to somewhere like Tractor Supply or somewhere and got him a cap and a pearl snap shirt and then got up here and sang his butt off? Well, second service is going to be dead as the first. That's all right. We're still going to preach. We're still going to grow. We're still going to get with it. So, good morning. I just want to start with this. I told him in the first service, I feel like I've been in timeout around this joint. It feels good to be up here on a Sunday. It feels good to be up here to preach to y'all. I've had been in timeout over here. I feel like Cody's had me over there in timeout. And I don't know about y'all, but when my mom ever put me in timeout, she was like, you sit right there and you think about what you've done. I never thought about what I did. I thought about what I was going to do after timeout was over. So I've been thinking for a while. I've been stewing for a while. I've been reading. I've been praying. So y'all better get ready because I am out of timeout and I'm fixing to give it all I got. So we're still in our series. It's called Exceed. We're still in this series of our Exceed and talking about how God exceeds in our life and how he exceeds through our lives as personal beings as he exceeds through my life. We've talked about what he's done in my life and Stephen's life and all the things and all the people in the Bible that we've read about. But as I was trying to figure out what I was going to preach about when Cody told me to come, I thought about Job. That's too long. I thought about several more. They were just too long. And finally, the Lord was like, hey, stop trying to think about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else has preached on. I want you to preach on not about the exceeding work inside of someone, but how God can turn it around and use you to be the kickstart for someone else's life to be exceeding for God. So the Lord gave me my favorite book of the Bible, my favorite guy in the Bible. We're just going to stay there. I guess I'll just preach about Paul for the rest of my life. But today we're going to be talking kind of about Paul, but mainly about who come and prayed for Paul. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 19. It says, now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again. 13, but Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. 14, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who is called upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. 18, instantly something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. And afterward, he ate some food and regained his strength. Saul stayed with the believers in Damascus for a few days. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this place. Thank you for Bethel. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for the things that happen here, the growth that happens here, all the things that we get to do here on Sunday. Lord, I pray today that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to wake up, hearts to change the way we're thinking, the way that you changed my heart when I was thinking about this sermon. Lord, I pray that we would begin to get to a place where we just become obedient believers and realize that there's power in it today and that we could see where you want us to go and that you can work in our lives. Lord, move me out of the way. Holy Spirit, speak through me. And everybody said, amen. So let me set this scene real quick. We're in Acts. Jesus has suffered. Jesus has been beat. He's been killed. He's been put in a tomb. He defeats hell in the grave. He comes out of the tomb. During 40 days, he has appeared to his apostles from time to time to show them that he is who he says he is, that he will do what he says he will do, and to boost their confidence. And then he ascends to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit falls on believers, and then an ordinary man, somebody say, ordinary man. An ordinary man like you and I, and ordinary women like y'all, Peter gets up. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He's full. He's ready to go. He's gamey. He's ready. He's excited. He's been in time out. Now he's fitting to preach. And then 3,000 people get saved, and 3,000 people give their life to Christ, and then they scatter out, and they go to work, and they work miracles, and they get arrested, and then they get persecuted. And then Stephen gets stoned to death, and now that brings us to my favorite chapter in Acts, chapter 9, the famous story of Paul's conversion from persecutor to preacher. He's been uttering threats. Saul at this time is ready to kill believers. Saul's ready to take them back in chains. He is ready to do all of these things. He's been authorized by the leading priest. He is ready to arrest everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. We all know the story. When he's getting close to Damascus, the Lord shines the light down. The Lord has an encounter with him, and he says, you know what? You're not going to see no more. And he takes him into town, and he does all these things. And I just have a question for you and for myself when I was reading this. Who is Saul after? Saul is after the believers. Thank you, Marley. Saul is after the believers. He's walked all this way to go get the believers. He's after the believers, and I just want you to see that, and I want you to know that, because it's funny how God works. Because verse 10 says, now there was a believer. The Lord's going to call a believer to go do the work of God in a scary situation. Can I just remind you real quick, if we say that we're going to live for God and we believe in Jesus and we're going to do all the things he wants us to do, then we better be suited up and we better have the armor of faith in God and be ready to go forth to the enemy when God calls. We better be ready. God will not always call us to easy things. We're going to have a better life with Christ, no doubt, but it does not mean that it's going to be an easy life with Christ. We may have to go do hard things, and the Lord tells Ananias, he says, go, just like Cody preached about last week. Go out. The Lord's calling you out. When we get to a place where we're in a maturity with Christ in our relationship and we're hearing from the Lord and he's calling us and we're growing and we're doing, it's time for us to get up and go out to do something else. He says, Saul, go to the believer killer. That just kind of cracks me up. If I was him, I'd be freaking out a little bit. But let me also remind you, when God calls you, you got to get to a place in your mind, as soon as you feel like the Lord's tugging on you to go do something for the kingdom, you got to know if he's called you, he's already been there. He's already been there working on it. He's already been there working on the person that he called you to pray for. He's already been in the situation. He's already been there. Verse 12 says, I have shown him, talking about Saul, a vision of you coming to lay hands on him so that he may see again. Ananias is like, me and you would be. He's like, but Lord. But Lord, I've heard about this sucker. This guy, he's authorized to kill us. He's authorized to arrest us. I ain't going. And he said, you know, I just feel like he was thinking, and he's better off if he can't see anyway. But it made me think about when we enter the rodeo, we don't know how it's going to go. And when we go out there on the yard lines and we receive the first kickoff of the football game, we don't know how it's going to go. And when we get up in the morning and we get in our car and we go to work, we don't know how it's going to go. But what do we all do anyways, even though we don't know how it's going to go? We go anyway. So how come when God calls us and God tugs us and God speaks to us, why do we not go with the same urgency that we do when we go to work and when we go to the football game and when we go to the rodeo? Why? Is our weight more on what were the things of the world than it is on the things of God? We got to pay attention. We got to go anyway. Say, go anyway. At this point, I want you to see also Ananias. He did not know how this was going to go. Because how many of you know, we see it all the time, and I've lived it. When God calls us and God tells us and we have encounters with God, sometimes we fall off the wagon and we don't listen to God, right? So just because God told Ananias to go pray for him doesn't mean that when Saul regains his sight, doesn't mean that he ain't going to kill him. Like, oh, you, Jesus, people won't mess with me. I'm about to kill you first guy I see. I just feel like sometimes we got to be trusting and we got to know that God's going to work and we don't know how it's going to go. And at the same time, Paul had no clue. Paul had no clue what God was going to do in his life. He saw at the time, but he had no clue what he was going to do. And also, for all of us sitting in here, we don't know what God's going to do in our life. He has exceeding things for you and he has exceeding things for me, but we don't know. But we got to choose to believe. We got to choose to believe that he's going to speak to us. We got to choose to believe that he's going to go before us. We got to choose to go. Shout, go. This is why you and I need to go anyway. No matter how it feels, no matter who he sends us to, no matter, we got to be obedient believers and we got to go. Verse 15. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as the people of Israel. Don't you know Ananias was thinking, well, crap. If I'd known he was already your chosen instrument, I'd already be there. I just thought you wanted me to pray for him to regain his sight. That was a little sketchy, but now that I know that you wanted to be a chosen instrument, I'll go. But also, it made me think, If God's calling you to go do something, if God's speaking to you and God's tugging you to get out of your comfort zone and to go do something for the Lord, you need to be fired up and you need to go because you're already His chosen instrument. If He's called you, if He's speaking to you, go because He's already chose you to be the instrument to go to the next instrument, to make an exceeding move in God. I feel like when though He was calling Ananias, I've done this a whole lot in my life, and I had a conversation with a guy at the end of last service. He doesn't feel worthy. He doesn't, God asked to go do this, don't feel worthy. Can I just say, Ananias, he was just a believer. I feel like he was thinking when God was talking to him, I've just tried to live clean. I've just tried to be honest. I've just tried to ask for forgiveness. I don't think people saw me. I don't think people know me. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a worship pastor. And I feel like the Lord was looking down on him saying, you know what? All I need you to be is an obedient Christian, an obedient man or woman of God so that I can work inside of you and have a big move in the kingdom of God. Yeah. Never underestimate the power of being an obedient believer in Christ. We got a new preacher coming up around here. I done said it two or three times, Jesse Cochran. When we have Devos, that sucker, he pulls out something. We all go around the room and we talk about what Cody talked about. And we're all, you know, we hit the same stuff. Jesse, he pulls out something like from left field and it's good. And I'm always like, man, what is it? This guy's thinking. This guy's seeking. This guy's searching. But one time about 5 weeks ago, he was talking about these fleas. And they breed these fleas. I don't know why you'd breed a flea, but anyway, you put these fleas in a jar, and they put a lid on it, and these things just keep hitting the top. They keep flying up, hitting the top, flying up, hitting the top, and eventually, they keep hitting the top enough, and they keep doing that enough that they can take the lid off, and they think they can't get out. So how many of us are sitting there, and we've trained our minds one way so long that we don't ever get out of the jar because we've never, ever, ever trusted in God that He's ever been in front of us, that He's gone before us, that way we can fly out of the jar? That's good, but this is better. I said they breed them in the jar. When they see mom and dad just hitting the top of the lid, they said the babies don't fly out either. So your children don't ever see you seeking, your children don't ever see you going, your children don't ever see you getting out of the jar. You can just bet your butt that your children are gonna stay in the jar. Woo, I got that from Jesse. And the Holy Spirit. Take the lid off. So I'm a dad of 6-year-old and a 2-year-old, and the Lord gave me this little deal. Hope you like it, because I loved it. But He said, you may be the lead on the paper that connects the dots so that we can see the picture. You know the little connect the dot deals? Everybody's like, no, we use iPads now. We use pencil and paper in my house. And without the lead, you can't see what God has intended for us to see. You got to have it. You're the chosen instrument. You're the lead. We got to have you. We have to have you. The kingdom of God's got to have you so you can go work in the kingdom of God. If God tells you to go, you should be fired up. Let's go. He has His hand on you. You're the pencil that He's going to guide you from dot to dot so that the next chosen instrument will be found. Psalms 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Can I just say, He's delighted in everything that you do in your life. The good days, the bad things you did, the good things you did, the forgiveness, the unforgiveness, the attitude, the not attitude, whatever, He's delighted in it. He's interested in your life. He's interested in your heart, in your mind, in your relationships, and your people that you're around. God is interested in every detail of your lives. That should fire us up and that should get us excited. And also to know on the backside, He's going to direct our steps. We just spend so much time trying to direct our own steps and go here and go there and make these dumb decisions and never stop to think, I should ask the Lord, the one that changed my life, the one that made me renew my whole mind and my whole heart. We should ask the Lord maybe what He wants us to do. God is directing you and He's directing me, so let's go. So finally, Ananias goes. Title of this thing should have been Go. He goes, and he does what the Lord said. And through his obedience and through his heart, he just simply lays his hands on Saul. And a major warrior is reborn in the kingdom of God. A major warrior, if you know Paul, you should be excited about an obedient believer who was only mentioned 2 times in the Bible going and making an exceeding move of God happen. If you don't know Paul, get your Bible out and read the New Testament. But it just wasn't a believer. It was a guy that just believed. It was a guy that was just trying to live for God. Paul regains his sight. Paul gets baptized. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he begins to run with believers, the word said. Run with believers, we talk about it a lot here. So when I wrote that down, I was like, I'm not even going to go there. And the Lord was like, yeah, you need to go there. These son of a guns ain't listening. Who are you running with? Who do you run with during the week? Kids, school, high school kids. Who are you riding in the car with? Who are you texting? Who are you looking at? What you doing? What's going on? Old folk, who are you doing? What you hanging out? Where are you going? Who are you hanging out with? It matters who you hang out with, because who you hang out with is going to shape your future and also your children's future. I'm thankful for the men and women that God has surrounded me with and Marley with and our boys with, because they keep us sharp and they keep us going and they call us out and they just better our lives. Find somebody in your life that will better you and grow you. Paul, he begins preaching the word boldly. He authored 13 books in the New Testament. Paul planted numerous churches. Paul told Gentiles about Jesus. Paul performed many miracles. Paul fought and defended and preached the gospel till the day he died. And all of these exceeding things were just from the start of an obedient believer. An obedient believer. Those are huge things. That's a long list. It's mind-blowing. Don't you know it had to feel good as the years went by and the days went by when Ananias got to hearing about the things that Paul was doing? Yeah. Like, don't you know he was like, oh my gosh, this son of a gun is being used by God. I didn't know this was going to be such a big deal, Lord. Oh, thank you for using me. And don't you know, I know it had to keep his fire going. I know it kept him lit. I know it kept him wanting to be right and do good and stay clean and do these things for the Lord. I knew it kept him. I know it made him go look for the next guy to work on, the next guy to pray for, the next thing to do in the kingdom of God. If you are a born-again believer, you need to be hunting where God wants you to go. We need to be looking for those people to just hang out with. And Cody talked about last week, hanging out with saints and hanging out with sinners. We got to go. And I think when he was by himself, he's like, when he heard something that Paul was doing, he's like, that was my prayer. I prayed for that guy. But then the Lord was like, no, that was the Holy Spirit. And you were scared first, and then you had to go second. Yeah. But can I just tell you, it's 2026. That was years and years ago. But God is still using obedient, everyday believers to kickstart an exceeding move of God. Every one of you and me are capable and a candidate. If we're living for the Lord and if we're trying to do right and we're trying to raise different kids and we're trying to raise a different family, we're trying these things, you're a candidate. You can do it. We can do it. I was just reminding myself when I wrote this, I was, be honest with you, I was sitting at the foot of our kitchen table and the boys were asleep. It was about 4:30 in the morning. Marley was asleep and I was finishing this thing up and I never saw this coming, and the Lord was like, I just started remembering the men and women that had prayed over me with their hand on me. And I hadn't thought about that in a long time. You know, you get busy and then you kind of get okay at preaching and you get okay at this and doing that and you forget where it starts. Can I just say, don't forget where it started. Don't forget where your heart for God started. Don't forget your encounter. Don't forget where God worked. Don't forget the people who came along beside you and lifted you up when you couldn't lift your arms up anymore, and they held you up and they prayed for you and they prayed for your family and they prayed for your future. Go back and remember those things this week. Connor, if y'all want to come, Cody, it's 18 minutes, just telling you. He said my sermons are too short. I said, that's why y'all keep coming. But I remember at a set of pins on the Wagner Ranch on the fender of an Easley trailer, my boss at the time, Brad Good, he was an obedient believer. He was obedient. He had stayed hooked. He had been living for God. He'd been trying to seek God and change his life. And after his encounter, he said, you know what? I'm going all in. And he began to raise his family different and do these things different. So therefore, he was an obedient believer in Christ. And he just walked up to me on the edge of that fender, and he laid his hand on me, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for my wife, and he prayed for my marriage, and he prayed for our son, who's sitting down here on the front row listening to every word that anybody ever gets up here and preaches and then tells us about it when we go home, no matter what he's doing down there, drawing down there. Can I just tell you, he was just an obedient cowboy, an obedient believer who said, you know what? My friend is struggling. He's younger than me. I love him, and I want his family to do better, so he prayed over me. And I remember a time when there was this oil field guy named Clint Sissom and his wife, Ruth, and they came together and they would pray over me at their dinner table with tears rolling out of their eyes while they were feeding me the best dadgum bread ever. I don't even know if they're real people. Maybe that was food from God. I don't know. But they would pray for me and they lay their hand on me and they prayed for my marriage and they prayed for me and they prayed for our son who's sitting down here on the front row. And then I remember a time when we were sitting in my driveway of my house and Cody had come over there to preach and Connor had come over there to play in his nasty, stinky, white pickup. They both laid their hands on my shoulder and they began to pray for me and they prayed for my family and they prayed for me and they prayed for my son and they prayed for all of those things that were going on. And can I just say, I remember as my dad sits down here on the front row, sitting at a table drinking coffee and my heart broken and my mind scared and me jacked up and not knowing what to do, I remember him, of all people, praying for me and praying for my son and praying for my wife and praying for these things to happen. But can I just say this? When Ananias went over there to pray for Saul's eyesight, I believe God was seeing 13 books of the New Testament. I believe he was seeing Gentiles being saved. I believe he was seeing churches being planted. So you can't tell me that when those guys were praying for me, he was answering those prayers for my marriage and my family. But you know what else he saw? A young preacher that would leave his home, leave his place where he was comfort, and get out of his comfort zone and be scared to death anyways and get under the wing of Cody and go anyway, even no matter how I feel. And then he worked over here in our marriage and she's standing up here because he told us we would be a unit for Christ. And then he worked there and he worked and he didn't stop there. He answered the prayer and he redeemed the son who's sitting down here on the front row next to my parents. And then he didn't stop there. He answered the prayer and then he redeemed a mother's heart who didn't feel worthy to be a mother anymore. And then he redeemed her heart and he brought another son named Holden. And he's healthy and he's fun and he's happy and he's sleeping over here on Cody's shoulder right now, getting raised up in church, getting raised up around the Word of God. Can I just tell you, when you get prayed over, you got to keep going because they're going to pray for you. The preacher can pray for you. I can pray for you. Everybody can pray for you. But until you start giving it a little action and you start changing your life and you start changing the way you live and the way you talk and the way you think, he can't move. Shoot, let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for obedient believers. I thank you for the power and just being an obedient man or woman of God. Lord, I pray that today that these people sitting here would not ever forget the first encounter they had with you, would not ever forget the power of prayer, would not ever forget when somebody came and laid hands on them and prayed for them. Lord, I pray that if they're sitting there and they've had the prayer and they've had the hands and they don't see nothing working and they're agitated and they're mad and they're sad and they're discouraged, Lord, I pray that you would just encourage them to zoom out and see where they're at. What have they done? What have they done for the kingdom of God? How have they believed? How is their mind wired? How is things happening in their life? And Lord, if they haven't made a move, I pray that they would begin to make those moves and then that you would work exceeding things in their life and they would realize, okay, I can be prayed for, but I got to make a move. And Lord, the ones who got prayed for a couple of Sundays ago and now they've been making the move, I pray that the exceeding things don't stop. I pray that they keep coming. I pray that their families grow. I pray that their hearts are changed. I pray that they're forgiven. I pray that you would reset their minds. I pray that you would give them everything that they need to go forth and fight the darkness and just run in the kingdom of God. Lord, for everybody in here, I pray that you would just renew their minds, that they don't have to be a pastor. They don't have to be a preacher. They don't have to do any of those things. They can just be obedient people and do obedient things and just try to live a good life and just be who you've called them to be and be around the people that you've called them to be around. So as we go through this last song, I pray that you would just work in places that you've never worked, that you would work in hearts that have never been worked on, that hearts that would see different today, that they would just sit there and bask in your presence and understand that you're for them and not against them, that you have things planned for them, that plans for them to prosper and not to be harmed, for their marriages to be renewed, for their children to be raised up better, for their children to do better in the kingdom of God. Just be with us as we go through this last song, and I pray that it don't stop tonight, today, this morning, this rest of this week, the next month. I pray that things would just stay new and that we would never underestimate the power of obedient believer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.